Johnny Tree Nguyen. How are you, mate?
I'm good, Scott. How are you, man?
I'm very well, thanks. Thank you so much for doing this. We're actually
Thank you.
meeting for the very first time, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. I've seen, your clips on the internet plenty of times, but we're actually first time meeting over the internet.
Yes, this is the way, especially these days. I myself have watched many of your clips and movies. I have to say that you are one of the most phenomenal kickers that I have ever seen. I mean, people say about me that I defy gravity, and I say, no, you need to look at Johnny Nguyen because you've got like, it's like you stay up a little bit extra than most people. It's like you go up and then you stay there for just a bit and then you come down.
Thank you, Scott. I think I'm amazed by you because your body figure is like not like mine, because I have a more slender and it's easier to get more air.
I'll give you
But
that.
you yeah, I mean your stuff's amazing how you can carry, a lot of momentum and speed, especially for, your size. That's amazing.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate you saying that. I will take that on board. I'd love to know what your martial arts background is and how eventually that led you into the movie business.
Yeah, sure. I first started training martial art with my father. He learned from his father, and that's my grandfather who's kind of started it all in the family.
Yeah.
So in his past he learned many different style of martial art, from from more of the Chinese to Vietnamese to Cambodian martial art as well. And basically, he's like a very passionate martial art. So he puts it all together into a specific style for the family.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that's what I learned. Yeah, from a very young age, like when I was 9. That's kind of like a plus for me to it's like my background, as a good base. And then as I became older, my father encouraged me to go out and learn more, because that's what he did, and that's what his brothers or my uncle did, right? My uncles, they all go out and learn more.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I went out and learned Aikido, Tai Chi, a few other Kung Fu style, and I ended up with Wushu.
Okay.
And then I became very passionate about Wushu. So I trained a lot and I got into the US national team, and then I competed for about 3 years.
Sorry to interrupt. Are you growing up in Vietnam or America?
I grew up in Vietnam till about when I was 9.
Okay.
And then I moved to America. That's when I started to, even train more. Yeah, because with Vietnam, little kid, do a little bit, train a little bit, but it was like more, not doing much. Just a lot of play.
Being a kid, being a kid.
Yeah, just being a kid. I saw my father teach my cousin and stuff, and kind of learn along, but it was more like that. And I got kind of my first real fight I saw was between my uncle and my father when I was a
Really?
kid.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow. That must have been
So I was like,
shocking.
whoa.
A real fight, yeah?
I was scared.
Yeah, man, I
Because
would have been.
I was like a little kid and they were like going at it, because they're both good at martial art,
Oh,
right?
wow. Yeah, kung fu fights in the family for real.
Yeah, so that was cool. Now that
Oh.
I look back at it, right? It was just right As I remember, it was right in the kitchen. You know, there was just going at it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for like maybe like 30 seconds or a minute or so, but you know, before they just stop. Yeah. And I go, wow, that was cool. You know, I mean, later on, after all the scare got away from me, you know, and I was like, whoa, shoot, that was cool.
That's amazing.
When I first came to the state, I came to Beaumont, Texas. Oh, and there was nothing there. There was just plain old nothing. And then in the winter it got so cold, right? It got amazing, but it got too cold. Yeah, it's funny how it worked. Texas, of all places. But I remember it got so cold that we were living in a trailer home, but the toilet froze. With a block of ice.
You've got to break through the ice with that.
How do we go to the toilet when it's a block of ice? I mean, I don't know if you've been to London, but does it get that cold? I mean, but
I'm starting to think I haven't lived until I've done a poo on a block of ice. That's what you need to do.
I was like, Mom, Dad, it's a block of ice.
Hang on, let me ask you a bit more about your martial arts. I could have sworn that you got a Taekwondo background. I feel like you've got Taekwondo kicks. I see the wushu as well.
I pick up with my friends, actually, because, you know, when I went into the stunt work business, yeah, on the stunt career, all my friends were, all the stunt friends, most of them were all Taekwondo guys. Yeah. Yeah. So we're kind of training
in your style of kicks. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're kind of training together for quite a while and exchanging techniques, like, you know, showing each other. So,
you have some kicks that I have never seen before and they are exclusive to you, which is very difficult to do, even to the point where still now, I mean, having seen it for the first time like 10 years ago, I don't really see anyone else doing this one particular kick other than you. It's crazy kick. We'll get to it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, well, training with my friends in, at this time I was in Thailand because I was working on Tony Jaa's movie, and I met some action guys who came from France.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and start training together and was exchanging techniques and trying out new things. And I go, okay, let me see if I can merge this kick and this kick together, you know? And so I found this kick and I said, hey, look at this. I can do this one. And it was like something that kind of worked for me, but it didn't work for anybody else. Because it's like a merging of two different things, and you kind of need backgrounds of you know, different martial art, you know, so your body can understand it. A friend of mine just introduced me to a TV show called Mortal Kombat, right?
Oh, the TV show.
The TV show, Mortal
Conquest.
Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
Conquest.
Exactly. That's it. That's it.
Daniel Byrne. So,
yeah, I did a demo reel, you know, and I sent that in. And I got a call from the stunt coordinator, you know, said, hey, we want you to double the main villain, Sang Kang or something, the character was.
Yeah.
I found that in action movie, or in stunt work, we do everything that is illegal in real life. We get to do it.
Yeah, man. I love that. Never heard it said that way, but yeah.
I mean, I found that. Hey, you know, we always wanted to do this in you know, like there's something inside of us that's rebellion side, right? We want to do this stuff, but it's illegal. We can't do this. We can't. you know, go shoot guns on the street, drive really fast and beat each other up. We can't do that, right? It's not humane.
But we can pretend.
Yeah, but we can pretend. So I got that. That was the one thing that got me into stunt. I want to do that. You know, I want to do some crazy stuff. I have a funny another side of me, right? At that time, I was still a singer songwriter.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, I was doing two things that completely opposite. for the Vietnamese, I was a singer songwriter. Oh, or right. But you know, that wasn't, you know, action enough for me. So yeah. For Hollywood, I was a stuntman.
Yeah.
And then so I went to Thailand to I was in one of the, you know, of our concert. So when I was in Thailand, I met an actor there. He's a Taekwondo guy. Yeah, his name is Don Tai. Yeah. And then he introduced me to his manager. And that was just about like that, right? And then so I went back to the state and I started working on a few other films. I did what is it called? Black I forgot what it's called. One with Jet Li and the rapper.
DMX, Cradle to the Grave.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Give us the stones.
How many times I gotta tell you people? I'm a businessman. Make me a offer.
Here's your offer.
I got that role and I got a fight with Jet Li. And I thought, yeah, that's cool. Jet Li is nice. You know, he's nice. He's quite quiet, but pleasant quiet. And then I go, you know, acting's kind of cool. I kind of like it. You know, because there's a little bit of acting within, you know, that movie, right, for me.
Yeah, okay. How was it working with Jet Li?
Well, like I said, he was quiet. Most of the time we were coordinating the stunt with his stunt double, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So we're working out the fight with his stunt double, and then he's sitting back and kind of learning the fight.
And he just sits and watches it, right? He just sits and just watches it. He doesn't need to practice it. He just watches.
He doesn't practice at all.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Okay. I have a chance to work with Jet Li in a fight and Sammo Hung in a fight, right? When I first came Hollywood, I was in this TV series. Sammo Hung was in this TV series. I forgot the name again.
Yeah, Martial Law.
Yes, man, you remember everything. You got a great memory.
No, I'm into this shit, man.
Okay, all right. So Martial Law, and I was one of the street thugs that came in to rob the, I think it was 7-Eleven or something like that. And then Sammo Hung was, you know, came in and beat us up, right? So I got a fight with Sammo. And I was training the whole fight with his stunt double, which at the time was Andy Chang.
Oh yeah,
you probably heard of him.
He's been on the show. He's been on the show.
Oh really? Yeah, great guy. So I did all the choreography with him, and then Samuel came out of nowhere. I don't know where. I think he'd been watching the TV monitor somewhere in the back room or in his trailer, and he just remembered the whole fight. He was just doing the fight. He didn't need to practice.
See, that's crazy to me and to you as well. Like I worked with Jet Li and it was the same thing. I rehearsed the fight with his stunt double and he was just watching, and then he got up and he did it perfectly, and I thought, how do you do that? Samo is the same.
I know.
But for me, I don't know about you, I have to go through the motions and then I've got it, but I can't just watch. I need to go through the motions.
Of course, yeah, of course. Me too. You know, your body need to, you know, kind of rehearse it, right?
Feel it.
and feel the timing, especially with whoever you're fighting, right? Everybody's a little different. But
Did you think secretly they're backstage around the corner where no one can see,
doing it with the I don't know. He didn't rehearse it with me, but he just came out and it was just roll camera and we just do it. You know, like
100% like, full speed.
Yeah, full speed. Yeah. What? After you know, the Cradle to the Grave film, I started taking acting classes.
Yeah.
And then and then I got I got work on the movie Spider-Man. That's a stunt double, the second one.
As the Spider-Man.
Yeah. As the Spider-Man guy. The for the fight scenes. Yeah. And then so after that I got a call from Thailand, right? From the manager. So they say, hey, they found out that I was in Spider-Man for some reason. I don't know. And then at that time, I just watched Tony Jaa Ong Bak, the movie.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, man, that was a cool movie, you know? It's like a different page, you know? Like we turn a page to a different kind of martial art film.
Yeah. Pure violence.
I think, we got, you know, we have to credit that to Ong Bak, you know, and the whole team. That they made it a lot stronger, you know, a lot more, I guess, believable, you know, when it comes to hits and stuff like that.
It almost went back to Bruce Lee territory in terms of the way that they shot it. It was just like the camera's all the way back here. And you were watching Tony Jaa do his thing. He didn't need a stunt double because, you know, he's just a phenomenon. But, yeah, the power that he was hitting people with was breathtaking, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, especially before that, movies, martial art movies weren't like that, right?
Well, they kind of were a little bit the Hong Kong, like Sammo Hung. He would hit people in the face. Like Eastern Condors, Yun Biao kicking that guy in the helmet. But not this much.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I mean, we've seen it before. It's just not so intense, right? Yeah. It wasn't so intense, not this much. And so I was like, wow, that was cool. Because a friend of mine showed me the film. And I said, wow, that's a fresh approach.
Yeah.
Anyway, just like soon after that, it was like a few weeks after that I saw the movie, I got a call from Thailand and said, hey, they want you to, you know, come over and play a villain to Tony Jaa. And we go, hell yeah, I'll do that. You know, that'd be fun. I came to Thailand and I started to rehearse with Tony for about a week, you know, but it was not an intense rehearse. You know, it was just like a little bit a day, a little bit a day, go home, you know, have fun. He's very nice and quiet a guy.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to the day, the funniest thing is the day they put me in that wardrobe, right? Because that pants that I wore and you saw there,
yeah,
it's made out of like alligator skin or something. And it was so tight, man.
Right, yeah.
It's not like, you know, your typical martial art, you know, gi or anything like that.
You know, I thought that you were a bit restricted, actually.
That thing was so tight. And, you know, it was hot in that studio, right? And then, so I was sweating under there and how sticky it was. I think at one of the kick, I torn the pants apart, right? And we had to take a break to the wardrobe people can stitch us together.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of the most memorable stuff for me was the pants. Every time I see this fight.
Did you see what he was doing before this with that one that they shot? Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I think it was prepared separately. And they shot it separately. Okay. And they rehearsed it for like a month and shot it for like 4 days or something like that. But each day was one take.
Right. Oh, okay. So, I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had a night's sleep between each take. Okay.
Yeah, that was intense.
Is he hitting you hard when he's doing this stuff?
They actually had a stunt double for me. And they call him, I think, Johnny Stunt or something like that. Okay. So, it was funny because I never had a stunt double. You know, I started at that time, I was a stuntman. I was a double. Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm having a stunt double. Okay, great. So every time they're throwing big hits and stuff, they'll bring in the stunt double.
So this, for instance, here, there.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you may as well if it's the back of your head. But I tell you what, he doesn't mess about hitting your arm, does he? Here, bang.
Yeah. But it's a good fight. We, you know, very smooth. Not, you know, no problem. I didn't hit him accidentally or anything like that. He didn't hit me accidentally. This was like one of the most easiest things.
That's a beautiful kick though, there, man. Those trousers, they're doing okay for you at this point.
No. They're like pain in the ass for me. I wish, you know, I was like, at this time in the future, in the future, if I'm ever doing a movie and I ever have anything to say, I would start with pants and shoes.
Absolutely, that's the way it is. Yeah, for me all the time. So this is the stuntman here getting boshed.
Yeah. It's the stuntman. You know, because that's the two most important things, right? Pants and shoes. You don't have your footing. And if it's too restricted, and especially me, I'm more of a kicker. And it's very difficult. But yeah, that's the stuntman again.
I know it's the stuntman going through the window. And who can blame you? It does a backflip off the guy's face and then he goes through the window. It's amazing.
You know, but I think Tony got a lot of control. I don't think that really hurt the stuntman at all. You know, he can do.
No, but just the idea to like do a backflip off his face and he goes through a window is like crazy, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ong Bak blew you away, blew me away. But like Tom Yum Gung, they took it up another level for that one. The fights in that are even more epic, in my opinion. I mean, they're both very similar. They're both really good films, man.
Right.
The action is just on a different level, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't watch the same Tom Yum Gung the same as I watch Ong Bak because I'm unbiased, right? I'm just a... audience when I'm watching on back. Don't you go a minute, so I can't say it's good or not. Yeah. I mean, I do like it.
Yeah.
But
no, I think they're both great. They both exist on the same level for me. They're like as good as one another. But of course the first is always gonna be the first.
Exactly. Yeah. That's like a first mover advantage.
First of all, can I say that you're a very competent actor, and we'll get onto that later. I know you do a variety of different roles, and I didn't know about the singer-songwriting, so that's another string to the bow. It's amazing. But what I love about your fight sequences, and we'll get onto this when we talk about The Rebel, is, it's pretty full contact, the way you're hitting people. Now, is that something that you took from the Tony Jaa experience, or is it something that is more acceptable in Thailand and Vietnam and places like that?
You know, I always like it to be more realistic. I think it has to go with culture, how we were brought up. Like in, let's say the culture difference between like a Chinese and Vietnam is Chinese a little bit flowery, right? It's a little bit more fantasized.
Yeah.
Vietnam is a little bit more realistic culturally.
Yeah.
So whatever art forms that that we do, we like to make it a little more realistic. And I think that was more of the background. You know, I come from a background where if I'm looking at a Hong Kong film, some of the more realistic one I like, some of the more too, you know, flowery one, I appreciate them, you know.
Yeah.
But I tend to get drawn to the more full on contact one.
Yeah.
So that was what when I watch Ong Bak, and that's why I like it. And so when I came and made The Rebel, I want to, you know, make it more in a style that I like, you know, style that is more, a little more realistic. Of course, there is a creative license. We have to make it in a way that is eye candy.
Yeah.
But put a little more power and impact in there.
Put a little more juice on it.
Yeah, a little more juice. Yeah, a little more gas, right? Anyway, in 2004, when I did the Tom Yum Kung, I came back to Vietnam again just to see how it evolved as in the, you know, film industry. And there's still nothing there. There's still no movie theaters, no nothing. There was, I think the whole country have 20 movie theaters, you know. And so I go, well, let's go back to Vietnam, make a movie. So I wrote the Rebel.
Yeah.
And then I told my brother, I go, let's go back to Vietnam. And I sent out the script to, you know, my brothers and everybody I know in the film industry that is Vietnamese, you know, a Vietnamese American. This, like Dustin Nguyen, and
I know Dustin. I work with Dustin.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we all went back to Vietnam and said, hey, you know, we're gonna work on a tight budget, but what the heck, we'll have fun, right? We'll have a lot of fun. And it's gonna be like the Wild West, because not a lot of stuff there, you know. There's no, like, the cruise is very, you know, there's not a lot of experience, so we're gonna have to put a lot of our energy in, you know. Anybody that I called, I said, you know, it's gonna take a lot of dedication for you to carry this through, because it's gonna be painful, you know. There's no trailers, there's no none of that usual Hollywood stuff you get, you know. Craft service, forget it, you know.
No trailers, no craft service, no chairs. Oh, and did I forget to tell you, I'm actually gonna kick you in the face.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that one was real. And, you know, I just put a little pad on the guy's back and just, you know.
Yeah. Let's see if we can see the fear in his eye as he waits to get kicked. He knows it's coming, look. He knows it's coming. And it's, no, right, there's a moment.
He's like looking where he's going to land.
There's a moment in his face where you can see that he thinks, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then he goes,
yeah,
hang on, is it coming? Bang.
Here's the thing is, I don't do many takes, right? And I don't rehearse for real. So if I do rehearse, I just jump up and tap him in the back. So they know, okay, this is where he's going to hit when, you know, we rehearse the timing. So I put up a gun, I jump, tap. Because if we hit too hard in rehearsal, then in, you know, when in a take, he's not going to act right. You know, he's going to be unnatural. He's going to be bracing or something like that.
Yeah.
So I rarely hit people in rehearsal.
but did he know that he was going to get hit hard, or was it a surprise?
Yeah, we put him back. I guess they don't really like know that.
They don't know the full extent.
Yes, exactly. You know, you don't know the full extent. I'm going to jump up and kick, and I'm going to put a back protector on you.
One take, though, yeah? One take, hopefully.
Just one take, okay. Yeah. Because if we do it again, it's not going to work, right? It's not going to be. But this one, we put a wire on his back, and same thing. It's just going to you know. Otherwise, he wouldn't fly back. He would just fly back flat.
So what's the conversation you've had with him before you've done this kick? Have you said, I'm going to get, because I know this kick and I know it's difficult to, it's hard to hit with power anyway. So you just said, look, I'm going to tap you. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, I said, well, I have to touch you a little bit. Okay. But I have a lot of control with this kick.
Yeah.
And I can just, grace. And you can see I tap him on the hat. So it's not no sharp.
And is that the reason for having the hats? Because it's something to hit or not? Is that
and just that's also, remember when I say, when I worked on Umbach, I said shoes and clothing was the most important thing.
Yeah.
My shoe here is made out of a very, a foam, right? The heel. So it's more like a boxing glove, right?
Oh, yeah. Have you put padding on the shoe, or you just found a shoe that is padded?
I came to Hoi An and made these shoes. I made the shoes so that we replace the padding, right? Instead of really hard heel, we replace it with like a foam heel. So that like
the toe, you mean on the toe?
The whole back.
On the grip.
The whole back. Yeah, the whole grip, right? Because if I ever hit,
like
the toe is not going to hurt as much as if there was a hard heel.
Oh, the rim.
Yeah, the rim is gonna hurt. It's gonna break some collarbones or make some bruises. But if I just made it pad, then I can, I can control my foot where I'm not really hitting them with the toe. I kind of flex it. You see it?
Right
at the last
right.
moment, I point the toe up. Yeah, I do that quite a bit of time. So I pad them with the pad. You see it?
Yeah.
So I flex, I point the toe, and then I flex the toe, and I hit him with the pad.
Oh, you sneaky. I can see that this wasn't take number one, though, because that is already broke. Yeah. That's at least take number two.
Yeah. But I do that.
So if you put the rubber sole on, does that, is it still okay for your grip and to take off, or does it rip off?
Yeah, actually, like our slippers, you know, many of them are made out of these foam heels. So some of the shoes are made from these, the lighter ones.
Is it made in a factory, or are you like gluing something on the bottom?
You see, in Hoi An, the place where we shot it, they make clothing, they make shoes, they made them overnight. So they're very light. The shoes are very light. They're grippy. They're much more grippy than like if you have a hard like dress shoe, right? They're not grippy at all.
Oh, that's really interesting, man. That's really interesting. I've seen this done before by Jackie Chan in the Police Story days, where they had like, you know, like the Taekwondo boots that you would put on for sparring. He would almost put a shoe like that over it so he could kick people in the head quite hard. But I don't think I've come across anyone having a shoe manufactured for all of the fights, I suppose, yeah?
Yeah, so all the fights you see that we do, we manufacture the shoes. We change the heel. Like, if we can go out, the one I'm working on right now with it's that we get a shoe, and then we come in the factory and we ask them to replace the heel. Like, just, you know, they're just, if there's a really nice shoe that we want for the movie, we just buy that shoe and change the bottom. And try that.
This is the new way. I love it, man.
Then you can kick people in the face, because it's just like a boxing pad, right?
No. Hopefully, like they let me. I'll say, listen, Johnny Nguyen, he's told me that if I kick you in the face hard with this shoe on, it's going to be fine. If it hurts, you've got to blame him, not me.
Oh, man. But don't rehearse, right? That's what I do, right? Because in the Rebel, if you see another footage that I have another singer who's very famous, right, in the Vietnamese. And I go, hey, you know, you want to be in an action movie? You can play in an action movie, you know, and we'll double you for the fight scene. But, you know, some of the stuff you have to show your face, of course, only the wide shot or stuff like that. We can double you. So he said, yeah, it's cool. So he went on. And in this scene, it's this scene with Dustin in my apartment in the film. But I had to kick him in the face. And I show him the shoe. Right, I take out my shoe and I say, look, it's padded, you see, it's very soft. So I'm gonna kick you in the face, don't worry, it's padded. And then I'm gonna go light, so I roll camera, and I go bam. So, like, because we needed that, we can't fake it, we can't fake the hit, you know, especially if you're,
it's amazing,
you know. Yeah, if you're not overlapping the hit, like in the back or something like that, you just profile. There's no way to act it out, right? So it's like,
bam. Hey, listen, nobody said making action films was easy.
Of course, yeah, you're gonna get hit. We're gonna get hit.
Yeah.
And
normally they're martial artists, though, and not singers.
You know, at the end of the fight. At the end of the movie, the singer, he told me, I would never do an action movie ever again. That was his word, I quote. I would never do an action movie ever again. Dustin's down. Dustin is down. But some of the stuff we have a stunt double for Dustin, so I can hit the stunt double pretty hard. Okay. But Dustin's a tough guy, man.
And I take it you were supposed to smash into this table but missed it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He hit me and I couldn't really control where I land. That's how hard he hit. Right. There's no wire or anything like that. I just told Dustin, hey, just hit me, right? Just hit me hard. So,
yeah.
And he just pounded, and then that's where I went.
Has he got a chest protector on there, or have you got the special shoes on, or what?
Yeah, we give him a chest protector there, so I can pretty much hit him. When he hit me, I just go ahead and let him hit me because you know, we have a special shoe for him already. So it's, you know, it's just like getting hit with a boxing glove. So it's okay.
I love this move here. That's very taekwondo. You see, that's where I thought the taekwondo would come from.
Yeah. It's a twisting taekwondo kick. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's the kick I was on about. Yeah. That's a crazy kick that I've not seen anyone but you do.
Yeah. That's a sort of like my merging of a low kick.
Oh, it's the lotus, yeah. But you're kicking with the same leg swinging through.
Yeah, it's a reverse lotus kick, right? So, start out with a low, like a how would you say a Muay Thai low kick?
Yeah.
And then just carry that momentum. You know, that's what happened when you miss a low kick anyway, right? If you swing hard, it will carry you through. So I'll just take that momentum.
That's the setup for the lotus kick anyway, isn't it? Except
except not kicking with the left leg, right? Lotus. Just bring it all the way around and kick with the same setup kick. Yeah. So the lotus kick is you set up with one kick to bring yourself up and you kick with the other kick.
Yeah, that's the one you did against Tony John.
Yeah. Exactly. It's easy. It's easy. You should try it. It's very, very simple, actually. As you go on now. Yeah, it doesn't take a lot of some kicks take a lot of energy and practice. That one quite simple.
Oh, I'm past learning new kicks. I'm just gonna stick with my repertoire.
Me too, man. Oh yeah, that's it. There I did again. You can see I I'm supposed to point my toe, and then this is what happened, because he's not he's not trained in taking hits like movie wise, right?
Yeah.
So if I just like miss him and overlap, he doesn't know how to react. He said, "Johnny, just hit me," right? But if I would swing on full, you know, hit him, it wouldn't work. So we did this take quite a few times, because I don't want to hit him, because this kick is quite a lot of momentum, right? But he can't react. So he just keep on wanting to move in. I said, back out so I can just right overlap you and then you react, right?
Because otherwise you'll fall over if your foot comes to a dead stop, I should imagine.
Yeah, because there's a lot of I'm carrying a lot of momentum through. I can't just stop, right?
Yeah.
So, but he's getting tired of, you know, not getting the tech right. So he just move in. He just want to get it hit. So I go through a spin. I stretch my leg out and I saw him move his head in. You know, I go, oh, shit. So I flex my toe like this. I could just graze him on top of the head.
And cool.
That worked.
See, that's you know you're good when you can think that fast when you're moving this fast, jumping.
Yeah. If you can control, just get a split second. split second to point your toe up.
It looks like you're on a wire, but you're not, are you?
No, I'm just stepping on the tree.
You're stepping on the tree and it's that easy, look. That's cool, man. Have you done gymnastics?
No, I haven't done any. The only thing I can do is like a backflip.
basically a no-handed cartwheel with a twist, isn't it? An Arabian.
Yeah. So it's a cartwheel and then with a twist.
That's cool, man. Now, I love that because you've got the power powder on the feet, right? And it makes all the difference.
Yes, that's one of the trick we got to do, right? So we put a little bit of dirt on the foot, and it makes sense, because it doesn't make sense all the time, like if you're in a clean surface, but here it works. It's, you know, we're coming off dirt.
If you look at it slowly, it is a miss, but
right,
when you watch
right.
it fast, because of that dirt, it really gives it that impact, doesn't it?
Right.
She's good.
She's a singer in Vietnam.
Singers, including you. This is
yeah. So she's a singer in Vietnam, and we actually when I came back to Vietnam, I wanted to audition martial artists. Right. It's just that they're not used to acting, and she had to carry a big part in the film. So we got her. So we trained her. But luckily, she's very gifted in martial art. Her name is Veronica Ngo. And I trained her, I think, for almost 3 months. But it was like 2 times a day. You know, we trained with the whole stunt team 2 times a day, just pushing. Okay. And if you get the right motivation and a person that's gifted, We can push them to a certain level pretty fast. Yeah, she did a wonderful job for that film, actually.
She absolutely did. Is he on a wire there, that guy?
And this guy was on a wire. Yeah, the wire going back was on a wire.
That's what I thought, because he was inhuman.
He went back pretty hard.
That guy is flipping. That, I love the way you throw that spin kick, because it's so wide that you really get to see the beauty of all of it. That's, for me, that's the beauty of filming fight scenes, is to fill the frame so
that
we've got the him one side, you the other. We see the leg come all the way across and it looks like it connects. That's basically.
I guess lucky for me, because I come off from a movie maker background. So it really helped with everything. You know, I didn't really have to Sometimes you have a martial art background, you bring a martial artist onto a film, and they don't do it exactly, look exactly that well, you know, because they have to kind of adapt, you know, to the camera, where you have to hit in a certain place or make it a little wider or make it a little bit, you know, stretchy or something like that, you know, make it easier for the audience to watch, you know.
That's a great way of explaining it, actually. Easier for the audience to watch, for the general public. And that's why the fights in the Bourne movies and modern movies of today with the quick cuts, and you don't know what the geography is. That's why they suck.
I can't see. What's going on?
You can't see the fight. You can only hear it.
Yeah, I mean, we go, what's going on? Right? I mean, some movies are like that. And I mean, it's a style. I have nothing against that. But
I do.
But you can see why. Because sometimes, you know, they don't have enough time to train, like certain actors. If we don't do that, it reveals, you know, faults.
Exactly. But when they do it, like, here's an example. Eco Awais from The Raid. He did a film with Peter Berg, who I think is a great director, and I'm a big fan. Please give me a job if you see this. Don't hate me. the way he cut the fight scene that Eco does in Mile 22, it's like, well, why are you doing that? Because it's Eco Awais.
Oh, you can do that. Yeah, right. He can do just one take with it, right?
You could have done it on a wide shot for the CCTV camera if you wanted, you know.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? If we can train the actors, or we can do it in long takes, it's much better just to let the audience see it. You know, we can get the speed and the timing to make it real, then we'll do it like that. Sometimes, you know, if you get new actors and they can't, you know, it's just, it'll take time. And so you gotta, whatever, you know, snap.
Well, the producers are always saying, oh, we want this quick, cutty type of thing because that's what the audience wants. And I've experienced that on some movies. I worked on one of the Wolverine movies, and the stunt guys cut together the fights the traditional sort of way that we would. And it was amazing, and everyone loved it. And then by the time the film was released, they'd given it that quick, cutty nonsense. And I was like, what the hell was wrong with it before? Everyone loved it. Hugh Jackman loved it. And now you've released it like this. And then I've had other producers talk about wanting that, and that's what the audience wants. But then I think they were always wrong, because look at the success of John Wick without that quick, cutty nonsense. And look at the success of Extraction, which was directed by Sam Hargrave, who's an ex-stuntman, you know, where you can see everything.
Yeah.
You know, they were just wrong, in my opinion. But enough about me ranting. I need you to talk me through this. Can you tell me what you said to this stuntman previously?
So for this one, I didn't hit him for real. I did not hit him for real at all. Because I come from a visual effects background. I know, right? Yeah, like I can do visual effects, right? So I'm not hitting the guy at all. So I have the guy jump up, and I hit the guy with a padded stick, you know, but that was on a different take.
For real?
So I'm hitting a guy with a padded stick so that, you know, he get a hit for real. But not with my leg. So then I'm doing another take, just kicking, basically kicking air, you know, so that, and then we merge the two shots together.
So hang on a minute. Is he doing that in front of a green screen?
Yeah, he's doing that with the green screen. Same place, right? We set up a green screen. We just said, here I am. So just jump up, trying to hit me. And I'm actually standing there with a stick in my, you know, hand with, you know, one of those padded stick where you train with, right? So I paint that stick green too. I just whack him in the face. And then I replace that stick with my foot.
Are you kidding me?
Because
I can't believe this, mate. This is incredible. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's easy. Try that on our next film.
Jesus Christ, I was thought for sure that you'd smashed the hell out of him.
That would knock him out for a while.
You know, the way he's just gone like this.
Some kick you just can't kick people for real with, right? I mean, it would just be knocked
maybe
out.
You made a mistake and just hit him harder than you intended.
No. That would have break his jaw. So,
hey, this is incredible. I've never. So everything you've done the shot with this guy and the train is there and you've just done the kick with no one there.
Yeah.
And then you've got that guy to run in against the green screen, but the camera is tracking. So
yeah. So it's the same shot. I kick this guy and then I kick this guy. Right. But then the guy that's running in is a green screen guy. Yeah. Good trick.
Mate, I'm impressed. I am big time impressed, and I've spoke to a lot of talented people. And this is episode number 30 or whatever. And this is the first time I've been this shocked about something. So did you have to do any? Like, it almost looks like your foot does hit something, but are you taking a frame out or what?
So we film it in slow-mo, right? So I just give it an extra frame there.
For the foot or for the whole of your body?
Yeah, just for the foot to hit, just give it an extra frame, one more froze frame so that it looked like a stutter, you know?
Man, I am so impressed by that. That is incredible, mate. But this is...
this one, same thing. You know, I'm kicking the guy that is, you know, I'm whacking a guy with a green same stick. Thing. Yeah. And then I'm
you're flipping. And then, so how do you make sure that your foot is the right height?
I kind of do it just to aim first and then just throw it. And then because he's a green screen guy, we can just align him.
You so know? You do we the can kick align first him. And then you're lining up his head with where the kick would be.
Yeah, so we filmed the green screen guy in a full figure, right? So we can just align him make the contact. Quite easy.
I almost don't want to release this episode now. I want to keep this information for myself.
You know, it's easy, man. Try that on your next film. Just getting, you know, some crazy outkicks and whack him in the head. People say, how you do that? And do it slow-mo right in the face. Bam.
I bet it looks like the stick did hurt, though.
Yeah, well, it hurt a little bit. You know, but you need something. Yeah, something need to, you know, make that.
How big is the stick?
It's one of those training stick where you have them in the dojo all the time with the wooden handle, and then it's like what do you call it? Foam, like this. It's like a bat, right? But bigger. Look at that. And just whack them across the face with it.
Now, listen, when you're on the location and you do the kick, do you film the green screen guy in a studio at a different time or with the lighting?
Film it at the same place. You know, so
the green
because
screen.
All you need is just a backdrop, right? You just drop the backdrop wherever you shoot it, right next to it. Same angle, just shoot it. So yeah, the lighting just perfectly match.
By the time I get the green screen up, the sun will have changed.
Set up the green screen on the side somewhere.
Like this.
No, you don't even have to shoot it exactly the place, right? You can shoot it like 20 meters away.
Yeah.
As long as it's the same angle, the sun is going to be similar, you know, in the similar back environment. Color's going to be similar.
Seriously impressive, man, especially on a low budget and everything. Congratulations to you. That is now this episode is going to come out and I'm afraid everyone's going to be doing it.
Well, it's good. It's good to share stuff, right?
Yeah. And
so the audience can watch, you know, some more cool stuff. Some really radical hit, you know.
I'm going to release this episode in 2025 after I've done 10 more movies.
After you've done the film and you go, how did Scott Atkin hit the guy in the face like that?
Yeah. He's fighting himself.
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Just again, let's just look at this kick you do against Dustin at the very end. Really great kick. That's just like it's a side somersault and you're turning it into a downward sort of tornado.
Yeah. It's like a tornado, but upside down, like a backflip plus a kick. Yeah. It's like a side somersault.
Seriously impressive, man.
Yeah, so this one, the trick to how to do it, right? If anybody watching the episode wanted practice. Yeah. So you run into it like you would do like a traditional, tornado kick or something like that? What do they call it, right? Inside crescent kick? Jump inside crescent?
Yeah. Would you sort of...
Just like a jump inside crescent kick. But... As you do it, as you go through it, right when you put your both leg down, you jump backflip. You do a jump backflip, and it end up looking like that because of the momentum. Yeah, so that's exactly what I did. Same female that we used in the Rebel.
Oh yeah, same girl.
So right after the Rebel, we made this one. Yeah, same girl.
Wow.
Veronica. So right after the Rebel, we made this one. We made this one on a really tight budget. But
well, like the fighting, because it's very real and scrappy and gritty, and it's a different style.
Yeah. So with the Rebel, it's more like a little more traditional merging. This one is a little more modernized because I like to, you know, choreograph the fight to the story. And this one is more, you know, modern day. So it's a little more gritty, a little more noisy.
Everything is a little bit more messy.
A little more messy. Yeah.
She's well-armed in this one.
Yeah.
She's like, seems like a legitimate action star to me now.
Yeah, I think she got quite a few roles in big pictures as well. Other films with, I think the last one she's in is The Old Guard with Charlize Theron.
All right.
And a few other ones, yeah. And I think
now that's
she made
a crazy move there. What you How do you get the other leg around? I can't even see how you're getting the leg around his neck.
So I'm just doing a more normal, you know, stepping off the other guy's chest. And, you know.
That's great.
Basically using the other guy as a stepping tool. Like I step up the tree, something like that.
Yeah.
This movie... I didn't pass censorship, right? So we never released it. There's a private copy on YouTube somewhere, but the actual version, the real version, there's an offline cut on YouTube, but the actual movie is never released yet. But I can share with you one.
I'd love to see something that I haven't been able to see, yeah?
Okay. So I'll walk you through it first. This... I'm on the villain side, right? So this is when my character come in and kind of, you know, supposed to kill him, right? But I show the movie, the scene up to almost the final result, right? So we won't give it out because it's actually not released. We'll maybe, you know, in the future where the censorship rule change in Vietnam, we can get a release.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's just stuck in the vault.
Sensitive too.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's gang fight and
The gangs there.
Or don't want to show that.
Nice kick into the wardrobe there. Oh, is it speed? Is it? Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that. Oh, yeah, he actually grazed me in the face there.
720.
Yeah, sometimes we kick each other pretty hard, but you know.
Oh.
I'll show you one. Yeah.
How many takes to get that to be in the right?
Is it one like I accidentally kick him in the neck?
Yes, love it. But there was no green stick on that one.
I wasn't supposed to kick him in the neck. I was supposed to kick him in the chest, but I got so tired.
On the other side where he had the padding of the cushion of the pad.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, kick him in the neck. You know, I like this fight because we incorporate kind of everything, you know, from empty hand to like machetes and sticks. And yeah, he's a Taekwondo SEA Game gold medalist. So he's you know, quite a real deal. Yeah. And I just got him and you know, we train him for the movie for a few months. I'm going to put some grapplings in there too. I
mean, it's nice because it's got realism mixed with a bit of the flash that you need. This is inspiration from your father and your uncle in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Oh, man, that looks great, man. Such a shame that you can't get it released at the moment.
Yeah, we can't because you know, there's certain rules in censorship work, right? Vietnam is a socialist country, so the censorship to what can release and what can't. Yeah. And if we make a police story or a war movie, something like that, then it's okay. If we make something about social unrest, it's not okay yet, you know?
Yeah.
So we just put it on the shelf for now. In my journey through this film, I guess, industry, when I was 16, 17, we were starting to make miniature home movie already, me and my brother.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was 19, I was already doing director of photography for, you know, a motion picture already. Yeah, so, I mean, and I do editing, visual effects, whatever, man, you name it.
Nice, man.
So that was sort of the other side, right? Because people know me as an actor, but my background originally, I'm a filmmaker. You know, I'm a writer and I edit films and I do it kind of everything. Besides, I'm not that much into directing like my brother is, you know.
Why is that? But, do you think? Why do you love lighting and filming and writing, but not the actual directing?
It's a big headache directing. It's
editing is the most fun, right?
Editing is easy. Everything is there. You know, you put together the puzzle, you know, in the best way possible. Yeah. But like I like lighting because if I look at the scene, I know how to make it, you know, to the story the best way possible. Right, because I'm a visual oriented person.
Yeah.
But directing is more like, you know, working with a lot of dreams, you know. It's just a lot of
it's problem solving, isn't it? It's like everyone's got a problem and they need an answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like you have to live with a big gigantic problem in your head the whole movie. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what drama is, right? Drama is it's problem. A character goes through problems, yeah. You know, and every character have a problem. And as a director, you have all of their problems.
And then the rest of the crew on top.
Yeah, you know, and timing and the producer and, you know, and there's so much stuff, you know, so I don't know.
Maybe, there's only maybe one job worse than directing, and that's producing.
I mean, I produce or film stuff, but...
Oh, you do. Don't you find that stressful? The producing, for me, is stressful. I haven't directed yet, but I've done enough to know produce. What it would be like.
I get to choose, right? Because when I produce, I don't produce by myself. I'm only doing creative producing. So I have another brother who does the financial, the distribution,
That's the real headache.
Exactly. The licensing, the contract, you know. He'll do it.
Great.
I'm just, you know, how to help make this page turn into the best possible image kind of producer.
Okay.
That's easier, you know, creative.
How old are you?
I'm 47. I'm 47.
how you feeling physically? Still ready to kick ass at a moment's notice? Ready you know, to fill in my movie?
I think if I train like a month, I'll be pretty much back in shape and to my prime before. But I don't want to train if there's nothing, you know, like if there's not preparing, because training is it's a lot of work, right? You don't want to exhaust yourself, but just do very light training. And then only for to prepare for certain things, then 1 or 2 months. You know, like I do all my other movies the same. I just prepare a couple of months right before the film. And then you get your physique and technique to you know, best.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I approach it though. I don't know.
Probably best not to wear down your body for no reason, because ultimately there's a price to pay from extreme
training,
you know, weekly, yearly, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of approach a film like how a fighter approach a fight. You know, we train intensely for 8 weeks or so, which brings it to peaks, and that's best, you know. But other than that, it's just minor maintenance when we're not doing anything. It's I feel that way. It's much more
comfortable.
Keep up
with your stretching?
No.
Brilliant.
I mean, I live in a dojo. You know, my home it's a MMA dojo, and I train everything for other films and stuff like that here. So we have like a huge dojo here, and every day we have a bunch of, you know, martial art class, and I just come and I just look and I'm watching and everybody's doing everything. I'm not doing anything.
It's not Jet Li.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's okay. As soon as you're ready to go, you're good.
I'm doing the Jet Li and Sammo Hung stuff now, you know? They're just sitting and watching.
Well, listen, Johnny, thanks for coming on and onto The Art of Action. I've really enjoyed it. I've learned a lot, mate. So I really appreciate it. I know the people watching this will appreciate it too. You're a phenomenal martial artist and a phenomenal filmmaker. And if we had enough time, we'd get into the singing and the songwriting as well, but we don't.
No. But anyway, it's fantastic talking to you and meeting you, and hope we'll you know, get a chance to run into each other again sometime.
I'd love to work with you, mate. It's been a lot of fun. You seem like a really nice, down-to-earth guy, so thanks, Johnny. Thanks a lot. Speak to you again.
You too, Scott. All right, bye. Mate, thank you. Bye-bye, man.